This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Billy Stats here with Fox Sports Knoxville, and I'm here to tell you DraftKings Sportsbook is not only my favorite sportsbook, but it's America's top-rated sportsbook. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN when you sign up to turn $1 into $150 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win the next game, and if they do, you will claim $150 in free credits. That's promo code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older, Tennessee only, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.
We're two kicking off in the Fan Run studios as we get set to talk some headlines in college football. I want to remind you, Home Field Apparel is launching this weekend. HomeFieldApparel.com. What is Home Field Apparel? Clothing company out of Indianapolis, officially licensed vintage college designs. They find your old logos, your old color schemes, try to bring them back to life. Been talking with them on Twitter, Home Field Apparel. Trying to bring back the navy. I miss the navy blue and orange look of my childhood. That was my favorites. Hoodies, crew necks, t-shirts, all vintage marks you won't see elsewhere. New customers can get 15% off your first purchase with Homefield when they go live with the Tennessee line by using the promo code GOVALS. One word, GOVALS, at checkout, homefieldapparel.com. Hour two headlines. What do you got for us, Cameron?
All right. We got Fred Warner, inside linebacker of the San Francisco 49ers, has just secured the bag. He just signed an extension for a five-year, $95 million extension, including $40.5 million guaranteed. That will make him the highest-paid linebacker in the NFL. So he is getting that money. I feel like I guess Darius Leonard probably will be right behind him, you know, in the next year or so. But right now, yeah, Fred Warner, who I think even though he's people kind of know he's like a dominant inside linebacker, I think he gets pretty underrated. I think that, you know, people don't think about him a ton when you think of those big, like, star defensive players, but he is a he's a stud out there.
Well, you know what, Cam? You might have been talking about him being underrated, but guess what? He ain't underpaid no more.
Very true.
He ain't underpaid no more. 5 years, $95 million, $40.5 million guaranteed. As Adam Schefter says, now the attention turns to Colts linebacker Darius Leonard and how much money he is going to get.
Fred Warner has never missed a game, which I find pretty impressive. Especially that he's playing about 95% of their snaps on defense. So,
speaking of getting paid, fifth rounder Max Ferguson officially signs with the Padres.
Okay.
Gone from Tennessee. Got a $324,100 signing bonus as he gets set again to go into the Padres farm system. You know, I don't know. You know, when you get drafted into farm systems, I don't know what the actual percentage is of like guys that actually end up starting major league games with that same franchise.
Mm-hmm.
Like for example, like Fernando Tatis. You know, you think of the Padres a stud. I mean, was he not drafted by the White Sox? I believe. I think he was in the White Sox organization for a while. And then got traded to the Padres. So you get moved around a lot was my point.
Yeah. You're usually what sweetens the deal in other trades.
Right. You know, the trade deadline, you know, maybe in a year or two, like these guys start getting moved around a bit. But, yeah. So I don't know if he'll end up getting up with the Padres, who are a young, exciting team. But for Max Ferguson, at least he made some money, $324,000 worth. And,
yeah,
you know, kind of a hit for Tennessee's team. But either way, good for him.
And the Seattle Kraken will be making their roster tonight at 8 p.m. for the 2021 NHL Expansion Draft, where they're going to pick one player from 30 different NHL teams, excluding the other expansion team, the Vegas Knights.
I feel like you should be able to take from the Vegas Knights.
Yeah, at this really point, good. They're too like, good.
Yeah, I mean, they've been around since what, like 17?
Yeah.
Was it 17? Were they the year? Is that right?
That's...
They have been 18.
I mean, the 16 was the year the Preds went to the Stanley Cup final, right?
Yeah.
And wasn't Vegas the year after that? I thought.
That would, yeah, okay, yeah, that would check out.
Yeah, 2017, they were founded.
Big brain by me.
Pulling out those years.
Yeah, good job by me. Any other headlines, Cam?
Yeah, the Olympics are underway.
Little okay.
No, we got softball and the women's soccer teams out there getting into the action. The U.S. softball team beat Italy yesterday, but the U.S. women's national team, who is known for their dominance in the Olympics, they have won 44 straight games.
Talking
44
about the
game
soccer
unbeaten
team.
Streak.
Yes. Soccer team, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
They had a 44 game unbeaten streak, and that ended yesterday in a lopsided fashion as Sweden spanked them 3-0. So not a great opening showing from the women's national team at the Olympics, and like I said, broke a 44 game unbeaten streak.
Now that won't they're not knocked out, like it's still pool play, right?
Yeah,
like in the Olympics, like it doesn't necessarily end their chances of winning gold or anything just yet, but
they are now in a hole,
a troubling start.
And they have New Zealand on Saturday and Australia on Tuesday to try and dig out of this hole. But yeah, not a great start. Does not give you a ton of confidence, but
mark your calendars, everyone. The 2032 Olympic Games have a host.
Nice.
Brisbane ran unopposed.
Oh.
I did not know where Brisbane was before I clicked this link. Do you know where Brisbane is?
I'm trying to think right now, and I got no clue.
Summer Olympics. So it's not necessarily a cold place.
Yeah, it's got to be warmer.
Cam, the way he reacted, I feel like he knows where it's at, but yeah, I did not.
Brisbane, what is that, like Germany?
No. I feel like you're far off.
You're
Australia.
Off.
Oh.
Yeah.
Crikey.
Yeah.
Crikey.
No place ran against it.
Yep. It's the capital of Queensland.
Just people don't want to host it anymore?
I don't know. One city race steered by the IOC to avoid rival bids. Maybe they just went ahead and said, hey, this is who it's going to be. I don't know. Brisbane won the vote 72-5. So in 2028, it'll be in L.A., Paris in 2024. And again, Brisbane gets 11 years to prepare.
Nice. I feel like Australia could put on a good one.
Yeah.
They should be able to.
Yeah. So Paris, L.A., and then Brisbane.
Is Brisbane, it's got to be one of the bigger cities in Australia, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's bigger than Sydney or Melbourne, but I'd say it's probably right behind them there.
Okay. So it can house this.
Yeah. They should be all right.
Yeah, and then they got 11 years to get ready. And, I wouldn't imagine they have to, like, build a bunch of infrastructure and everything, but maybe they do. I don't know. I don't know. Any other headlines?
I had one somewhere. What was that? So the women's soccer team got beat down. Oh, yeah. We had some news, unfortunate news, after the finals. There was a couple shootings in Milwaukee, basically following up the NBA championship. They took place at two locations across the Milwaukee River. And, they said there was dozens of gunshots is basically what was said from, witnesses and stuff like that. And I think there was a few people injured as well. They did take two suspects into custody, so they seem to have gotten the guys. But basically, I think some officers got trampled too by fans at the Deer District thing. Like, I think people just celebrating stuff, just getting out of hand. So, Bucks do not know how to act when they win championships. Milwaukee does not know how to respond to this.
Well, I would say there's, 65,000 people outside is what the estimation was.
Yeah.
Another 20,000 in the actual arena.
Uh-huh.
I would imagine more spilled into the streets after. You get 100,000 people, it's going to be hard not to get some type of violence. Either way.
Yeah, but yeah, not a great look for the city, right after the trample some police and then have a couple shootings just off the rip there. But guess they're out there celebrating, living their best lives.
All right. Any other headlines?
Yeah, Brandon Jennings, we know, had the prediction, Bucks in six. He was actually at the game last night to see the prophecy fulfilled.
He deserved it.
Good for him.
He deserved
it. So good for him to see his proclamation come true.
Yeah, man, he endured all those bad seasons we were talking about, at least a couple of them. Whew. Good for him.
And according to one last headline, according to SEC Media Days, as Clark Lee is taking the mic, Vanderbilt's head coach,
Oh, I was about to say, who was that?
He apparently won a pancake eating contest at some point in his life. That is the headline, the little ticker underneath.
So we got Heupel wanted football locker 6'4", Vanderbilt coach won pancake eating contest.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did Saban get? Did they throw up a little goofy thing for Saban?
Owns the sport of college football.
Dominant.
We do have some Nick Saban stuff after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Checking in on SEC Media Days. We've had Alabama's Nick Saban talk, and talk he did as he, just. That. Must be feel so good to be Nick Saban. Go up there and talk, and no one can question anything you say. Like, Nick Saban can say anything about football, and everyone's going to be like, well, you got to respect Nick Saban.
Yeah, he's probably right.
Right? I mean, he could go up there and do whatever he wanted. He gives his talk at the Texas High School Clinic yesterday. Everyone's eating on his words. He's talking about dinosaurs. Then he comes
what
and he's talking.
What did he say about? Oh, okay. You told me about
adapting. Yeah. Then he goes today and he's talking about, the name, image, and likeness effects. Mm-hmm. Says, hey, everything we've done so far has been about equality. Everyone has the same rules. Everyone's got the same number of scholarship numbers.
Yeah.
This won't be even. Now, I don't know if you can cry about this not being even when you're talking about your quarterback who hasn't even played yet making, close to $1 million mm-hmm. in endorsements. I think the Alabama football brand is going to be just fine. I imagine, Coach, it's going to continue to allow Alabama to, be the premier football program in the country.
Yep. Do we have our fingers crossed that they're going to miss games because of COVID? Forfeit, maybe?
Well, yesterday I said that I was pretty sure Alabama would lead the country or at least, be one of those SEC teams in terms mm-hmm. of having the vaccination because nothing stops this train and COVID ain't derailing a national championship season. No forfeits there. And I saw the numbers. Alabama's what, 90% in vaccination?
Yeah.
Is that the number?
Yeah, I see that. Yep. Nick Saban said they're almost to 90%, so they're probably hanging right around that. But
However, I did see that the SEC is now maybe backtracking a little bit from their comments.
Really? About, pushing for the vaccine, Brevi?
No, not that. But how they're not going to have, any protocols. Huh. And how they're going to not test because of the variants, right? We're low-key getting ready to head into what? Is this wave 3? Wave 2.5 of this COVID coronavirus?
Yeah.
I guess is what people are afraid of, but I believe I saw there are 12 states whose numbers are getting worse as of yesterday. Mm-hmm. I believe I saw that.
Of course.
But, we keep talking about these variants, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, the vaccine is or isn't effective all the time against it, and people who are vaccinated are still testing positive. I don't really know, but I did see that the SEC is considering backtracking and putting in protocols this year, which I guess would be minimum roster numbers.
Okay.
Maybe not forcing forfeits on people during a pandemic when they're still testing positive, even if they get vaccinated. Huh. And basically saying that being vaccinated isn't enough also to stop from testing. They said the testing might come back into effect because of all the variants.
Interesting. I feel like that's going to slow down the rate at which people get vaccinated if you're already taking your time with it. Now you're going to be like, well, I'm going to get tested anyways.
I feel like if you haven't been vaccinated at this point, you're probably not going to get vaccinated or you're waiting for some big particular reason. Mm-hmm. So if you're a player and you're still going to get tested, then what's the point of getting vaccinated?
Yeah.
I mean, I think the rationale people have used is that if you are vaccinated, even if you get sick or test positive, you aren't getting sick.
Mm-hmm.
You're positive with the coronavirus, but it's protecting you from it really affecting you think what people are spinning. I tested positive despite being vaccinated, but I feel fine. I just have it, so I'm going to lay low.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we know with the 18, 19-year-old, 20-year-olds playing college football, they're not mm-hmm. going to really be affected, at all by the coronavirus. So they're probably not going to get vaccinated now, especially if they're still going to get tested.
Yeah, there's no incentive at all now. So, interesting they would back off. I guess you you kind of have to.
If people are still getting vaccinated and testing positive, then you can't just not test, I guess.
Yeah. Ugh.
But yes, that could, you know, slow down people from getting vaccinated. But of course, Alabama leading the SEC with that
Georgia
because
handled it already.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yep. Who else is Kiffin today too? Right?
No, Kiffin was yesterday.
Yesterday, oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Kiffin was yesterday.
Yeah.
Lane Kiffin, you know, went up there and charmed people like he always does.
Yeah, checks out.
I will say he won the press conference. He was funny. But also, he won the press conference by showing up like 20 pounds lighter. Credit to Lane Kiffin for getting his life back on track.
Nice.
Okay.
He looked around and said, I'm getting a little plump. Then he saw some of the other SEC coaches like, I don't want that to be my life. I got to get back on track enough. He probably had the quality of co-eds he could find down there slip a little bit.
Mm-hmm. But he's like, I need to get my life together. It was a wake-up call.
He didn't have the same juice. He was having to go with the sloppy, drunk 20 and 21-year-olds and couldn't find a good, respectable grad school 24-year-old. So he's like, I gotta get in shape a little bit.
Glad he had his wake-up call.
Yeah.
Lost him about 20 pounds. Was looking slender in the face.
Okay.
So he won the press conference just by showing up and by doing that. And then said things about Tennessee. He was asked about Tennessee and just said Tennessee fans are passionate and Neyland Stadium's great and he can't wait to play there this year.
That's got to be one of the games most people are, like, anticipated for.
Yeah.
Like, it's one that you can go. I don't know. I feel like people think that's going to be a fun game to go and watch.
You mean just around the country?
Or for like, Tennessee fans.
Tennessee fans?
Like, yeah. I already know some friends that were like, oh, like, we should come up for the Ole Miss game, shouldn't we? And I was like, I guess. Like, I don't have a preference. It just seems like I think that narrative of, like, Kiffin being back and
yeah, I don't know
like
how Tennessee fans feel about it. I know, you know, some Tennessee fans wanted him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Some Tennessee fans hate him.
Yep.
If you hate him, I don't know if you want to go to that game because you might lose that game. And, like, the idea of watching Kiffin cheer in your stadium, I don't know how that would, you know, sit with you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how that feels. I know when Kiffin came back with Alabama, you know, as a coordinator, people were wanting to boo him. Although, by the end of the game, people were lined up outside the bus to try to, like, take pictures with him and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
and people like still like him, but
how quickly we've forgotten.
I mean, it probably is a game nationally that will get some attention too, though, just because of the ties, obviously.
Yeah,
it is a potential game that could be a lot of fun too. Like in terms of if Tennessee's offense doesn't stink,
yeah, it could be a high flying game.
It could be in the 50s. It could be how football is played in 2021. You know, for as much as we've talked about Heupel and his recruiting and everything, like there is some excitement around, like, okay, we're finally going to look modern. Now, I will say we're 10 years too late to it.
Yeah, and I will say, too, that also was kind of the narrative around Butch Jones's offense, too. Was like, it was going to be, oh, we're doing the spread stuff. We're getting to what people are kind of doing more now. We're going to be more creative. And then people got mad about how creative we got.
Well, I don't even say we got that creative with it was the problem. It was a lot. I don't know. With the spread stuff, I thought we were a couple years behind that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we went to the spread and what? I mean, like, you know, Oregon had already been a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The spread had already kind of started. We were a little bit late to it. And then our spread was like just the side-to-side stuff.
Yeah,
and not necessarily the down-the-field, the good type of spread. With Tennessee, we're going to be bringing in that, you know, deep ball down the field, which will be nice, but it's not like we're being innovative. Like, Alabama's dominating the SEC with it. We've seen other teams have this for a while. I mean, go back to Baylor in 2011, 2012. I mean, they had the same offense.
For sure. Yeah, we're going to be running a lot of RPOs and, like you said, down the field bombs.
It'll be nice. Like, it'll be bringing us the closest we've been to being with the times in college football in a while.
For sure. No, that's true.
Now, I did see that the latest figure had Tennessee with 37 bodies in the transfer portal.
Oh, my Lord.
30.
We've gotten slammed with that.
Yeah.
37 bodies in the transfer portal.
Started offering us scholarships at this rate.
The Tampa Bay Times wrote a piece about Heupel.
No, really?
Yeah. They're not feeling him. Can former UCF coach Josh Heupel turn the Vols around? Don't bet on it.
Oh, gosh.
Is that just out of spite since they're from Florida? Or?
If Heupel is going to rebuild the Vols into what they believe they can be, he'll have to progress in ways he didn't show in Orlando, where he went from 12-1 to 10-3 to 6-4.
Hey, he led the NCAA in offense through those years, though.
Basically, it says there's a reason many UCF fans weren't sad to see him go.
That was very, very painful to read through the Reddit stuff the day he left and how they were celebrating.
He spoke highly of the time he and his family spent in Orlando. Quote, "If we miss one thing," Heupel said, "it would be the beach that's 45 minutes away." So I guess they probably don't. I don't know. Let's go to break. Let me read this story and get some more of this stuff because they are kind of bashing him. Nick Saban, to end up on him, I guess. We had the Deion Sanders controversy yesterday. Did you see much of that, Cam?
Oh. Yeah, I did, yeah.
Deion ended media days because he got called Deion and said that that's disrespectful.
I did see that.
And that if Nick Saban was called Nick, he would do the same thing.
Yeah, I got some numbers on how many times he was called Nick today, too.
Well, I was going to say, then at the SEC Media Days, someone asked him about that. Nick kind of just like, I answered anything. He's like, I've been called everything. Deion, I don't know. What's his deal? Like, was it fair for Deion to react that way and like think it was disrespectful? Because, I mean, I feel like it's even weirder for media members to call somebody coach.
Yeah, like, coach, not your coach, yeah.
Coach Sanders. I mean, what do they want, Mr. Sanders? I don't think it's weird they called him by his first name.
I don't either. Yeah. I think he's been branded as just Deion, yeah, too.
He's the most popular Deion in the world.
Yeah. Is he just trying to change the narrative and get respect, I guess? Like, try to command that, like, hey, he's not the same Deion. He's Coach Sanders now.
I think it's a respect insecurity thing a little bit. Because,
I mean, yeah, you said you had numbers. How many times did Nick Saban get called?
He got called Nick 8 times today. And he didn't walk out once.
Yeah.
But yeah, Deion just walked up out of there.
It just seems dramatic. It's the same. I mean, we had the situation where he got robbed during the game that seemed handled really weird whenever he's talking about it after the game.
It's been a weird situation all around for him, it seems like.
And then the school was like, actually, no, it didn't get stolen. It's there now. Just got misplaced. And he's like, no, I know what happened. And he's just arguing with the school. I don't know. We'll get back to this Tampa Bay Times piece on Josh Heupel after the break. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. The Tampa Bay Times had a lot to say about Josh Heupel. I guess they feel a certain type of way on him being out of there.
What did he ever do to Tampa?
I don't know. They had a lot to say, though.
Okay. They don't have anything else to write about in Tampa, I guess, right now?
I mean, Brady, they just want to back-to-back Stanley Cups.
Mm-hmm. But now they want to write articles about Tennessee's head coach.
No, this is one guy just needing to get something off his chest. That's what this is.
I'll allow it to get done, but here's what they said. You know, they're talking about basically Josh Heupel in his press conference talked about how, you know, Tennessee isn't where they need to be, and how basically, you know, hey, we got the only time constraint you put on the, basically, like in terms of rebuild, there's no timetable. We're just, you know, going to keep working. The only time constraints are the ones you put on yourself, which then allowed the Tampa Bay Times piece to talk about the quote, rabid fan base in Knoxville that doesn't give coaches time. Despite the job not being what it used to be, it does raise a point. I mean, like, this is, if you are wondering why Tennessee isn't what it used to be, like, you could point to a couple things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tennessee's coaching hires ain't been great. I think they've been, you know, we've talked about it. You know, with the Josh Heupel hire, you look at the Jeremy Pruitt hire, you look at the Butch Jones hire, you look at Derek Dooley, you look at really Lane Kiffin. Of all of those hires, did any of the coaches have a resume that you would consider can't miss?
No, not at all.
Not really.
Like, I mean, would you even say any of them had, like, impressive head coaching resumes? Like, Kiffin, of course, was a coordinator and wasn't even kind of the only coordinator at USC. They had, like, a loaded offensive staff there with a bunch of talent. Yep. He had never been a head coach. You look at Derek Dooley, of course. He was, I believe, coming off a losing record at Louisiana Tech.
I honestly think Butch Jones had the best resume, yeah. And it wasn't even, like, great. Like,
I was going to say he did, but, like, then Butch Jones, yeah, like, had won somewhat at Cincinnati, didn't win big at Cincinnati by any means, followed Brian Kelly.
And obviously you can see you can do better than what he was doing, as, like, they are doing now at Cincinnati.
Right. Like, it's not like Cincinnati was some, like, little school that he couldn't, like, you know, handle, but, yeah, you know, Butch's resume was probably the best. But, again, followed Brian Kelly at Central Michigan and Cincinnati, didn't win anything big by any means. Of course, Jerry Pruitt had a big coordinator resume, but never as a head coach. Butch had never been a head coach at the Power 5 level. And then you get to Josh Heupel, who, you know, kind of has the same situation. Butch did a little bit in terms of taking over a program that was kind of already built. Now, of course, Heupel didn't do it twice, and Heupel did it at a bigger place than, like, Central Michigan, and really even probably even bigger than what Cincinnati was in 2010, 2011, you know, with the way UCF was. But, you know, I wouldn't say Heupel did better at UCF than Butch did at Cincinnati by any means. The 4-8 season Butch had in year one probably didn't feel much different than the 6-4 Heupel had, you know, last year. Especially, you know, like when you consider that was a first year compared to a third year. But the point being, like, if you're looking for why Tennessee has fallen off, like, you can start with the coaching hires, and I don't think Tennessee hired a proven winner at head coach in any of the last five hires. Is that right? Five? Yep. So it'd be Kiffin, Dooley, Butch, Pruitt. Yeah, five hires. Yeah.
Yep. Honestly.
None of them. Proven winners. Another thing you can look at is, like, the SEC catches up. The SEC caught up. Everyone got money. Everyone had facilities, all those things. Sure, I agree with that. But also, as the Tampa Bay Times point out, in the 90s, three schools that were nearby geographically were all down. Looking at Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson. Like, I don't know if I could say they were all down. Like, Georgia, I feel like I remember was still solid, but I don't know. Maybe I'm misremembering that. I was 8, 9, 10 years old. But the point was, Alabama, Georgia, and Clemson were nowhere near where they are right now, where they're all three of the top five programs in the sport. And, like, you know, kind of surrounded you. They had kind of have you flanked in terms of recruiting.
Yeah, and your worst case, splitting your recruits with all of them for sure.
Yeah.
If not even, you know, like you said, just them poaching everybody that you want. It has made things more difficult. Like, that's there's nothing that kind of disagrees with that, but that's kind of on us, too, just for falling off the way we did. I mean,
yeah.
I feel like, I know we had taken that step back, but I feel like when Fulmer left, you still could have salvaged the name brand and tried to poach somebody big or got a decent name, at least with some success. But, you know, they went Kiffin, and then, you know, rest is history as far as where we went from there. But, yeah, it's not great. Those resumes have not been great. For as big as a name brand we like to think that we are, you would like to think you can get somebody with you know, a better resume.
Now, you know, I think by the time we got to the fifth hire with Josh Heupel, I don't know how much better you could have done resume-wise. Like, I do think you probably could have gotten the National Coach of the Year with Jamie Chadwell. But, I mean, he would have had similar questions as Heupel had or whatever in terms of actually doing it at a Power 5 level. And, you know, I guess proving yourself that you could recruit at this level. So, like, I don't think he would have been a slam dunk by any means. I would have rather have had him, but whatever. Maybe you couldn't have gone out and got somebody with a proven track record, no matter how much money you threw, because, A, you haven't won much. B, you're in the SEC around those three of the top five powers. Mm-hmm. And also, like, you had some recruiting sanctions staring you in the face.
Yep.
But I do think you could have hired somebody better than Jeremy Pruitt in 2016.
Yeah.
Had you fired Butch Jones in 2016. I will maintain that that should have been the time you make a move, and this program could have been in much, much different shape had you not gone through the 2017 season.
Mm-hmm.
That was such a disaster. Had you not gone through the coaching search of 2017, where you made a mockery of yourself, and your fan base became, quote-unquote, rabid. I do remember kind of foaming at the mouth up there at the on the steps of the training center. So maybe that's where the rabbit thing comes from. But, like, you know, Tennessee just hasn't made the right decisions.
They haven't.
They haven't made the timely decision. And again, I'm not blaming Josh Heupel. He is here. There is nothing we can do about that other than support him and hope that he wins here, because eventually, like, you know, if Josh Heupel doesn't win here, we're going to be looking at, you know, 15 years of just straight
garbage.
Garbage. I mean, yeah, like with 2-8-4 seasons and a, like, what, 6-game winning streak, 5-game winning streak with, you know, with Jeremy Pruitt to end the season.
Woohoo.
Like, that's all you're going to point to basically in 15 years if he is not good. Because Heupel will be here probably, most likely, at least 3 years.
Just keep pointing back to 2016 when you're like, ah, see, look, we almost could have.
You could have. You should have. You know, I would say even that 2015 team might have been better.
Yeah,
I mean, in terms of if you just handled business and took advantage of having a lead against Oklahoma. And, you know, you had two touchdown leads against Oklahoma and Florida in back-to-back weeks, and you lost both of them.
Jeez.
You maybe could have won the national championship. I won't say you could have won the national championship that year. Let me slow down. But you could have been a 10-win team pretty easily.
Yeah. Yep.
If you win one
of those.
You would
have been in contention.
If you would have won one of those Oklahoma or Florida games, like, I would bet that you wouldn't have lost to Arkansas.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it would have set you up very well. Yeah, as far
as momentum goes. You lost to Alabama 19-14. So, like, you were pretty close.
Yeah.
You were pretty close. You should have won the East in 2015 and had a chance to at a rematch against Alabama. Mm-hmm. Like, again, we don't need to go over that history, but the point was Tennessee in 2016 could have fired Butch Jones after a disappointing, you know, 8-4 as you kind of collapsed down the stretch. Hired pretty much any coach in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Even after 2017, when you had such a disaster, you could have hired better than Greg Schiano. And then you could have, you know, maybe gotten Mike Leach, or you almost got Mike Gundy. You couldn't quite close the deal.
Never can.
But you could have hired a coach that at least had a winning resume.
Yeah, who had done it before, or, you know, had success before, I guess.
And then you didn't. You went bargain bin shopping. You hired a coordinator. You hired Jeremy Pruitt, and we know what happened there. And then by the time you got to 2021, I really don't know how much better Danny White could have hired than Josh Heupel. I don't know. Yeah. I wasn't in the meetings. I don't know what the thought process of the brand was, but Tennessee let it get there.
I'm still with you on the Chadwell thing, though. I would have rather had him.
Well, I know for a fact you could have hired him. Yeah. Yeah. Make the call.
Which is what hurts me, because that's who I wanted. Yeah. Because I think I'm with you. But like, I don't know who we really could have gotten. But, yeah, like you said, this dude was just sitting right there.
So whatever. I mean, I'm not going to blame Heupel, and, you know, whatever. His resume is what it is. Now, you know, in this piece they're talking about basically how funny it was that Heupel was talking about, you know, how many great opportunities there were at Tennessee and how it was special because now UCF has they're better set up in the college football landscape, especially when the playoff expands to 12 games because they should make the playoff every year or have a chance to make the playoff every year, whereas Tennessee's probably not going to be able to with the schedule they have.
Yeah, and they put it in kind of a simplistic way where they say it doesn't matter how famous your logo is if Alabama and Georgia keep lapping you in recruiting and 7-loss seasons continue to mount. Expectations don't match.
Reality. I mean, like, this is just kind of an outside perspective of what the thought process of, you know, is of Tennessee. Like, we kind of know it as fans. I think we're mostly self-aware. But, like, sometimes you got to read from the outside perspective, and it's true. Like, hey, the power T is iconic, even though Texas has kind of ripped it off lately for some reason. But, like,
because it was iconic.
I guess because it was iconic. They just changed the shade of orange, and everyone's like, okay, yeah, it's fine. Texas, you can do this. And, you know, it's like I said, if Heupel isn't good here and you add 3 more years to this growing list of underachieving and despair, you're going to be 15 years removed from, I mean, that's even acting like 09 and 08 was good. Like, you're going to be 17 years removed from an SEC East division title, which is absurd.
That's a full kid. You're almost stopping paying child support at that point.
It really is absurd. 18 years. 18 years. Got one of your kids. Ain't going to win the East for 18 years. But, like, that's absurd when you really consider the East is a 3-team race.
Yeah. And some years you're just like, oh, these teams are down, but we couldn't capitalize because we were also down.
I mean, like, yesterday, South Carolina won one of them.
Mm-hmm. Missouri.
Missouri got, what, two of them?
Yeah. That's what annoys me.
But, like, outside of that, like, it's just Georgia or Florida, bro. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Kentucky ain't winning one. Vanderbilt ain't winning one. You couldn't beat those two teams once in 17 years?
Just need it once.
I can't believe he said that about Orlando, though.
Yeah.
If we miss one thing, it would be that the beach is 45 minutes away.
I know which beach he's talking about, too.
Unless he figures out what's been holding himself and Tennessee back, he'll end up like Pruitt and Jones and Dooley, they write, with a lot more free time for beach days. That's a good way to end an article, Matt.
That is a good way to end an article. Tampa Baker was a heat.
Matt Baker went in on this.
Well, I mean, I guess if you are a UCF person or you are defensive of, like, the home team, and how far is Tampa from Orlando? A couple hours? I mean, it's not drastically far, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't think so.
It's all kind of in the middle of the state, right? I mean, I'm not a geography person, but, like, to say that, like, you miss the beach, like, that is kind of backhanded of hypo to say, yeah, but
city sucks, so I get out of there.
Especially if I'm a UCF person and I look and I say, like, hey, I feel like UCF's a better program.
For sure. I do feel like you wouldn't want to live in Orlando, though. All that tourist stuff, traffic, toll roads.
Sure.
Doesn't sound wonderful, but
you get the sun pads, you can bypass all those things.
So I got to pay something to drive on the road. I'm out.
Got to pay the troll toll.
Yeah. Ugh. That's the worst part about driving through Florida is the tolls.
Yeah, get the troll toll.
So Josh Heupel.
You got some haters, Josh. Go prove them wrong.
Yeah.
I mean, he does have some haters.
Use it.
Oh, man.
We need Josh Heupel to go Trae Young on the haters real quick.
Yeah. I hope I'm able to say the apologies need to be as loud as the disrespect, but I don't have a lot of confidence in that.
I don't either.
I don't have a lot of confidence in that. But, hey, I will say that maybe my one takeaway so far from SEC Media Days, especially from Tennessee, is that I think we might at least know who our team leader is. At least I feel like Alante Taylor
that's
said
true.
The right things.
Yeah, that's true. It's been shaky the past few years.
We'll see if he backs it up. I mean, because, his play has been shaky the last couple years. But, he said the right things, I thought. Tennessee kid wanting to put Tennessee back on the map, and it means a lot to wear the orange and white, and more focused on winning games and getting his endorsements. Like, I thought all of those things was him saying the right thing. Mm-hmm. So maybe we at least have a leader on the team, which is something we didn't know.
Yep. That is good. If it's somebody stepping up and taking that role, you need them.
One big thing with, like, what Taylor was saying, it's how it compared to what Velus Jones was saying. You could tell that there was a lot more, like, leadership qualities, a lot more confidence, a lot more, I want pride to be a big factor in this compared to Velus just pretty much saying, I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, Velus was basically just like, hey, I'm going to try to get a lot of yards in this offense, and hey, the fans are great and all that stuff. But, like, yeah, I mean, Alante made it seem like it meant something to him, which, you can roll your eyes at and say, so what? But it was a question that maybe we had heading into this, and it does seem like again, maybe we at least know who a team leader is going to be.
Yeah. And different perspectives there makes sense to me. Velus transferred in, he's been tied to Tennessee his whole life or anything.
Whereas Lante was like, love the orange and white. It means a lot. Yeah. It means a lot to my family. Blah, blah, blah.
Makes sense.
Of course. All right. I was talking SEC football. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Matt Baker of the Tampa Bay Times.
Mm-hmm.
He also pointed out yesterday at during Heupel's press conference, this is a quote that kind of went over, that I guess we missed as we were getting ready for the show. Says that Heupel said he grew over his time at UCF with his communication and, quote, being able to build from the ground up.
Oh.
Okay. which, of course, you can imagine what the the UCF fans and the replies have all responded with, like, what? The only thing hype built from the ground up in Orlando was his daily tower of chicken and waffles, one person wrote.
Okay. Yeah, he really had to build up that program, yes. Yeah. Build it up to 6-4.
James, from a 13-0 season, James said, ask him if he is, quote, still surprised when defenses drop 8 to defend and make things more difficult for his offense, as he mentioned 5 times the past 2 seasons.
Oh, boy.
He took an undefeated team and then got worse in each of his 3 seasons at UCF. He didn't build anything. Mm-hmm. He got the keys to a sports car and did it like Ferris Bueller. That's a weird way to say, had a huge running start and gradually slowed down to a walk.
Well, the opposite of creating is destroying. So maybe he learned that if he just flips what he did at UCF, it will work.
Yeah.
Then a couple, actually a lot of, he did grow comments with weight jokes.
Oh boy.
Gosh.
Matt Baker.
That was just keeping an eye on hype. That was inevitable.
Is he just like his nemesis? Is this Hypel's nemesis right here?
Straight up.
I don't think I've seen any Tennessee riders going like this at Hypel.
Now, I mean, if he's maybe trying to take credit for like building his program up, like creating a program,
his culture and stuff,
and like trying to build something, I guess, sure. Like, I don't know how much they changed from, you know, Frost to Hypel.
Yeah.
How many support? Like, because I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like that was a big story. Like, basically, Frost took his basically entire coaching staff with him to Nebraska, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, he did do that. So, yeah, maybe like you're saying, he assembled his squad, assembled his coaching staff, and
it's
put
just
his
one of
culture
those,
in.
It's just one of those things that you look at the quote and you're like, okay, hold on a second, buddy. You can't say stuff like that. But again, if he is essentially just saying, no, look. No, look, here you go.
It kind of reminds me of the leadership rep quotes, to where, like, when you really break it down, like, it makes sense. Like, they, you know, you got to get guys in there practice leading a huddle. If they haven't done it, they have to show that they can command the huddle. But when you say it like that, the way you say it, it just comes off terrible. I think that's kind of what that quote could be on the same spectrum of.
Sure. So we'll see.
Do a little hypo.
We'll see. Any other college news we've missed from the day?
Anything
else?
I haven't seen a ton. It's just wild, but it's kind of sneaking up on us. What are we at, 40-something days now? Low 40s, I feel like.
Division II conference is the first to require vaccinations. So I guess that's a Division II conference that's saying, hey, if you're going to play, is that Southern?
Oh,
so the
SEAC.
Yeah, Southern University. I know Southern.
It also applies to other auxiliary groups, including officials, band members, and cheerleading teams.
Okay. All right.
I will say, I did watch a clip on that Deion Sanders thing, and he wasn't necessarily – it wasn't like someone was like, hey, Deion, and then he was like, all right, and just walked out. It was a guy, he was like, hey, can you please not call me Deion? And the guy kept doing it like – to mess with him. He'd be like, okay, Deion. And it just came it was like very disrespectful. And then Deion got up and left that interview because of that. So it wasn't really just kind of him like, hey, like he did ask the guy obviously to be like, hey, can you not call me Deion? You don't call Nick Saban, Nick. And the guy's like, oh no, I do call him Nick, Deion. And then just kept just hounding him about it and just kind of disrespectful, trying
so
to get under his skin.
Challenging him to it.
Yeah. Pretty much. So then he was like, all right, I'm done with this interview. And just because it was like a Zoom thing.
Okay.
It wasn't like he was at the media's days, like in person. So.
Okay. So, yeah, the context there, I mean, does make it seem a little bit better because in the audio you played, it did seem like the guy was being a little combative and trying to be a little disrespectful. Like, it wasn't like Deion went off the first time, right? He had asked him, like, hey, like, don't talk to me that way.
Yeah, he
bit.
Sat there for about, like, 30, 45 seconds, like, after the guy kept doing it and was, like, having a conversation with him and be like, hey, like, don't do that, please. He's like, oh, really? You do call Nick Saban Nick all the time? And the guy's like, yeah, I do, Deion. And just, you know, just, like, when he didn't even need to reference his name or anything, was throwing Deion in there just to mess with him, so.
Kind of the Jim Rome, Chris Everett thing.
Yeah.
Bet y'all will, Chris. Then he tries to fight him.
Yep.
I did see that Ben McKee over on BallQuest, just kind of some Tennessee news as we're talking Tennessee football. But this is doesn't seem to be good baseball news. Ben McKee, like I said, on BallQuest says that does look like the potential transfer we were going to get from Kentucky that was pretty good, that play catcher Colton Kessler, doesn't look like he is coming to Tennessee. Looks like he is going to sign a free agent professional contract and try his luck in the pros. So,
okay.
You know, small hit for Tennessee's baseball team as, you know, a lot of people were projecting him to come here. But doesn't look like that's going to happen anymore. The end of hour two was brought to you by the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. If you or a loved one has been injured in an accident, call them at 865-558-8030 or visit online at g3helpme.com. They've been serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience. Let the G3 team get you the money that you deserve. That's G3HelpMe.com. Hour 2 over. Finito. Hour 3 coming at you after the break.